Welcome to Storage Mania Podcast. Today's episode, we will feature Fast Food Killer by Wordsmith. She breezed into my office like she owned the joint. She was beautiful. I mean, smoking. She had a body to die for, and I'm not sure somebody hadn't. She was wearing a blue dress that fit her like a rapper and showed off buns that any man would love to get his hands on. She knew how to work it. If a guy could get some fries with that shake, he'd be a lucky man. Her eyes were bluer than her dress, and her lipstick the shade of the inside of a cherry pie. She was followed by a greasy palooka and a cheesy suit. Obvious muscle. Bodyguard. He had a blockhead and a nose with more turns than a curly fry. His ear looked more like ground beef than the usual cauliflower, and his fists were huge. Real whoppers.
My name is Wendy Sanders, and I'm looking for a private detective.
She said with a voice as creamy as a milkshake. It's your lucky day, lady. I just happen to be one. She smiled a smile that would melt a sundae, and that her eyes were frosty. She didn't appreciate my humor. That's okay. Making her laugh wasn't what I had in mind. Won't you step in and have a seat? Give me the scoop. Name's Silver, John Silver. She sauntered over to one of the chairs in front of my desk and took a seat. The palooka, however, stayed by the door. Does he sit? I asked, eyeing the monster by the door.
Big Mac? No, not unless I tell him to.
Really? If you tell him to, will he fetch and play dead too?
He'll do whatever I tell him to do. He's better at making other people play dead.
I got the point and moved on. What do you need a private dick for? She stared at me with those frosty blue eyes.
I need you to find the person who killed my father.
I sat there and listened to her story of how she came home to find the colonel dead in the kitchen. The colonel. Not daddy or dad or even father, but the colonel. She found him lying in the kitchen floor with a butcher knife in his chest and a chicken leg in his hand. Seems that he was preparing dinner when he was killed. Fried chicken. I asked her who else was in the house, and Wendy informed me that the only other people in the house that day were a married couple who served as a maid and a butler, Jack and Dee Box. I told her that I would need to come out to the house and look around. She said that was fine and got up to leave.
Thank you, John. You can reach me at this number whenever you need.
She handed me a slip of paper, and her hand lingered on mine for a few seconds, and then she gave me a smile with those cherry lips. Friends call me Long John. You can call me Mr. Silver. I had a feeling we weren't going to be friends. When I got to the house, I spoke with Jack and D-Box, and they weren't very informative. Seems my private detective ID didn't impress them much. Hey, what do you expect from a state-issue ID? You could get better out of a Happy Meal. They did tell me, however, that they weren't the only ones there that day. The gardener, Arby, was here for a little while before the colonel was found. I asked them where I could find Arby, and Jack pointed out the big bay window where Arby was clipping the hedges. Arby was a big, dark, beefy guy. Looked Hispanic. He was finishing the hedge when I came up behind him. Excuse me, Mr. Arby. Mr. Arby spun around with the clippers held in front of him like he was afraid I was going to jump him. Whoa there, fella. Just want to ask you a couple of questions.
Sorry, senor. A little jumpy with everything going on around here.
Everything? You mean the murder?
See, the murder and the burglary.
The burglary? When was this?
Oh, three nights before the murder. It was loco, senor.
How so?
Well, the thief, he took nothing but food. Just a big ham out of the refrigerator.
A hamburglar.
Si, senor.
So tell me about the day of the murder. You were here, right?
Si, senor, I was here, and there is nothing to tell. I came, pulled some weeds from the garden, raked the leaves, and then I go home.
Was there anyone else here?
Oh, just the maid and the butler and, well, Colonel Sanders, of course. He waved to me from the kitchen window when I was leaving.
No one else?
No, but there was a strange man walking down the street as I was leaving. Red fluffy hair and a big smile. He was wearing a yellow jumpsuit and a big red M on it. Oh, and I saw Big Mac's car pulling away like maybe the two had been talking.
I thanked Arby for his help and headed for the house. I went into the kitchen so I could see the crime scene. It wasn't much to see. The lab guys had come and gone, and the floors had been cleaned. I looked around a little, and then went to the police headquarters. Spoke with Detective John Carls, Jr. Junior let me take a look at the crime scene photos. I was leafing through when I stopped at one with a weird-looking print. What's this?
What's it look like? It's a picture.
Great, a comedian. That was a real belt buster. I mean, what is in the picture? Looks like a footprint, but not a regular one. Junior's face turned red, and he reached out and grabbed the photos from my hand.
That's enough, hot dog. That's a shoe print, size 17. Now get out of here.
No problem, Junior. I've got all I need, but you may want to hear what it is. I called Wendy Sanders and told her to meet me in my office. She showed, walked in, followed by Big Mac.
Well, John, what did you find?
What I found was that the Colonel was going to sell all of his restaurants. He was selling and getting out of town. He was also writing you out of his will. Seems he found out that you're not his daughter after all. Seems your father is a Dave Thomas. Colonel's wife had a fling with him, but you already knew that, didn't you? You had Big Mac hire someone to kill the Colonel so you could inherit before he disowned you. Only Big Mac was sloppy. He hired his uncle Ronald to do the job, and Ronald had a fellow scope the place out a couple of nights before. Then Ronald clowned around and left a shoe print. Not many people wear a size 17 shoe. I could see the grimace on her face, and she knew she was busted.
You're smart, John, but it doesn't matter. You can't prove it. We're the only ones that know I did it.
Big Mac reached into his jacket for his heater, and I jumped over the desk, grabbed a glass paperweight as I did. I landed on Mac and gave him a whopper with a paperweight. It was a good size one, a quarter pounder at least. Maybe a double. Big Mac fell, and Wendy made a beeline for the door. She opened it to see Carls Jr. standing there with a couple other cops. She turned to me and said,
"Damn you, Long John."
"It's Mr. Silver. Only my friends call me Long John. Did you pick up Ronald and the Hamburglar, Jr.?"
"Yeah, they were making a run for the border, but we got them just in time. Funny, I heard that fast food would kill you."
"Another belt buster there, Junior." Junior took Wendy and Big Mac to the cooler. I sat down behind my desk. "You know, Long John," I said to myself, "you really got to start getting paid in advance."
Thank you for listening to Storage Mania Podcast. This has been Fast Food Killer by Wordsmith.